Let's take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah chapter 38. And I'm going to share a few verses tonight as we start and then continue through this chapter, through the message tonight. Jeremiah chapter 38, Jeremiah known as a weeping prophet. Very, very interesting character in the Bible. A man who was obviously, as every man, not perfect. But God has allowed us to see some things about him. And I think this is a very interesting passage. I trust it will speak to your heart tonight. Jeremiah 38, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 1. Then Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shemaliah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, He that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, This city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you for this passage that we have read tonight. I pray that you would bless it, that you would use it to speak to our hearts, what you've laid upon my heart to share tonight. I pray that it will accomplish what you would have accomplished in the lives of your people. And Lord, I pray that you'd empty me of sin and of self. Fill me with your spirit tonight. Might preach what you would have shared, that you would do the work that you would desire accomplished in the hearts of your people tonight. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our missions conference theme, our 30th missions conference this year, our theme is I Surrender. I Surrender. You know, we sing all the time songs about surrender. We sing I Surrender All, and we sing Take My Life and Let It Be, and we sing All for Jesus, All for Jesus. But I wonder if we really understand the meaning of what we're saying. Oftentimes we sing songs and we recite verses and we quote things, but perhaps we don't really understand the depth of the truth of what we're actually saying. I looked up the definition of the word surrender, and it is defined as to yield to the power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand, to give up completely or agree to forego especially in favor of another, to give oneself up into the power of another, especially as a prisoner. To surrender in a biblical sense is defined as being that which a believer completely gives up his own will and subjects his thoughts, his ideas, and deeds to the will of God. Surrender is willful acceptance and yielding to a dominating force. Too often, I think we think that God is satisfied by the things that we give him. I mean, as long as I go to church, every time the doors are open, as long as I tithe and give an offering and give to missions, God is pleased. If I'm a soul winner, God is pleased. If I do good things, God is pleased. If I love my neighbor, read my Bible, spend time in prayer, and do these things, God will be pleased with me. But I think that what determines our relationship with God is not how much we give him, but how much we keep for ourselves. He's not satisfied with having most of us. He's not satisfied with having 90% of me. He's not satisfied with having most of the things in my life, or me giving him almost all of myself, or me giving him as much of myself as is comfortable for me to do, or me giving him as much as myself that is more than people around me, or he giving me giving of myself that which is expected of me by a church or by a ministry or by a pastor or by somebody else. God, the Bible says, is a jealous God, and he's not satisfied with most of me, with the best part of me, with the best that I can do. He's not satisfied until he has all of me, till he has every part of me. You see, God doesn't want your stuff. God doesn't want your things. God wants you. My time, my talent, my treasure belong to him anyway. He can take those things from me. But the one thing that God will not take from you is you. He won't force you to do what he wants you to do. He's not going to take your heart, as we saw in the video tonight, and make your heart have a heart for God. He's not going to make you love him. He's not going to make you serve him. He can take your time. He can take your treasure. He can take your talents. He can take these things. But God is not happy. He's not satisfied until he has all of me. So we've heard our pastor preach about living sacrifices from Romans chapter 12. And God expects for us to be a living sacrifice. See, the only problem though with living sacrifices is that we keep crawling off the altar. We don't want to stay on the altar. We keep moving. You know, a dead sacrifice doesn't move and it cannot be offered to God. The problem with us is we get on the altar, but we don't want to stay there. And so, we find ourselves dealing with this issue of surrender. You know, the white flag, which is a symbol of surrender, was used in the Middle Ages in Europe to indicate that a person was exempt from combat. When somebody raised the white flag and began to swing it, they were saying, listen, I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm not going to go against you anymore. There's nothing. I give myself to you. I give all of my resources to you. You now have control of me. I'm not going to fight. There's nothing that I have that is going to go against you. I'll no longer be your enemy. You have all of me. And that's what God is looking for from me and for you. He's looking for some Christians who will not just say, you know what, God, you'll be happy if I tithe every week. You'll be happy if I show up for visitation. You'll be happy if I teach a Sunday school class. You'll be happy if I sing a song. He's looking for Christians who say, God, you have all of my life. You have everything that I have. I won't fight against you. There's nothing that I have. There's nothing that I am. There's nothing in me that I withhold from you. That's what surrender is. That's what surrender is. But sadly, I feel and believe that probably most Christians never ever surrender their life to God. We feel as if we can do more than those around us, or if we can do a certain amount that makes us feel like we're good Christians, or we measure up to some standard that's portrayed to us, that God must be happy. He's not satisfied until we say, God, I take my hands off my life. I take my hands off my will. I take my hands off my thoughts. I take my hands off my possessions. Everything that I have, there's nothing in me that you can't have. That's surrender. So in our passage in Jeremiah chapter 38, we find that the prophet has been imprisoned. He's been imprisoned in the previous chapter. And now at the beginning of Jeremiah 38, he's now in prison in Jerusalem. The nation of Israel had turned its back on God and was serving other idols and was finding itself about to be taken into captivity in Babylon, as had been prophesied by years past. And now at the beginning of this chapter, we find the prophet Jeremiah is proclaiming here to all of these officials in Jerusalem that the city is going to be taken by sword, that the Babylonians are going to come, that God's judgment is going to be poured out upon his people. And he began to preach this truth to these folks. But he said, listen, there is something that you can do. He said, if you determine that instead of letting the Babylonians come and take us, But if you decide to go ahead and surrender yourself to them and give yourself to them, this city will be saved. Your life will be saved. He said, now, those of you who decide you're gonna stand and fight for the team and stay here and fight against this thing, you're gonna die. But if you surrender yourself to them, if you take advantage of this opportunity, you have a chance of being spared. And so he began to preach this truth to these folks who were facing this judgment of God. And they didn't want to listen to what he had to say. The Bible says the princes were mad at what he said and told the king, we need to put this man in jail. I mean, he's talking foolishness. I mean, he's hurting our cause. I mean, he's telling us to throw in the towel, to give up to the enemy. I mean, what kind of guys is he supposed to be? A prophet of God. He's supposed to be on our side. Let's throw him in jail. You know, it's amazing that whenever somebody tells the truth, somebody's going to get mad about it. Somebody is going to be mad. If the preacher preaches the truth, it's amazing how I've seen being able to grow up in this church and live in a pastor's home, how I've seen time and time again that the pastor will get up and open the Word of God and pray to God for wisdom and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance and open his mouth and proclaim the truth, and folks will get mad at the preacher. Getting mad at the preacher for preaching the truth. And that's what they did. Folks don't always want to hear the truth. And so Jeremiah preaches to them and he tells them the truth. And he is thrown into prison because of what he said. You see, this idea of surrender is not an easy thing. We sing it easy. We say the words. We quote the verses. But the idea that I am going to take total possession off of my life, that I'm going to take my hands off of everything, that there's nothing in my thoughts or in my will or in my desire that I will hold on to. There's nothing that God could tell me to do that I wouldn't do. There's nothing that the Word of God would show me that I wouldn't abide with. There's nothing in my life that I'll hold on to. That concept of surrender is not an easy thing for most folks. You see, surrender is contradictory to my personality. We're just not built for this. We think we are. We sing the songs. We say it all the time. But the idea of total abandonment of myself is not something that comes natural to anybody. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Listen, if left to my own devices, I'll never please God. I'll never do the right thing. It's amazing. We watch situations like all this wickedness is going on in the world today. And you think about these Boston bombers and the situation in Ohio. And we watch these things and you say, how could someone be so wicked and so vile and so evil? Let me tell you something. If you're put in the right situation, in the right place, without the Word of God, without the impact of the Holy Spirit, in your life, you and I are capable of any and everything. This idea of surrender is not something that comes natural to me. You see, many folks feel that there's going to be a loss of freedom. If I surrender to God, I can't do anything. The Christian life is nothing but rules and regulations. I'm not going to have any fun if I surrender to God. You see, I don't have enough faith. There's a lack of faith that causes folks to say, you know, I would give my life to God and I would follow God and I would do what he tells me to do. But the reality is that you just don't believe that God's way is best. If I really believe God, then there's no way I wouldn't surrender to him. But there's a lack of faith. We just don't believe that if God were to write out my life on a sheet of paper, and I were to write out my perfect life on a sheet of paper, that God's paper would be better. We don't believe that. If I surrender to God, he might send me to the mission field. If I surrender to God, he might make me a bus captain. If I surrender to God, I might have to start living a certain way. If I surrender to God, I might have to start putting clothes on. If I surrender to God, I might have to start giving my money to God. If I surrender to God, my kids might go to the mission field. If I surrender to God, I might have to do these things. There's a lack of faith in God and believing that his way is best. And so, surrender contradicts our personality. I like the verse in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, where the Bible says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You know, that's an interesting verse. You know, what it says to us is, listen, you don't have the capacity within you to know what's best for you. You don't have the ability to know. If God were to give you a blank sheet of paper to draw up your perfect life, you would mess it all up. And God says, I've made you. I knew you before you were born. I put you in the family I put you in. I brought you in the circumstances I allowed you to be a part of. I raised you a certain way, gave you a certain mindset, a certain personality. I know what's best for you. So surrender. Give it all to me. Surrender my life to you. Surrender is contradictory to my personality. As we read through this passage in chapter 38, we see that once Jeremiah is put into prison, another interesting thing happens in verse number 6. The Bible says they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. They put this prophet in a dungeon, a small encased dungeon where he's sinking in a mud pit. And they kept him just high enough in the pit where he wouldn't go under and suffocate in the pit, at least not until they wanted him to. Verse number 7, and when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin. Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, when they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where there is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts of rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. So the prophet is lowered here in this pit. We don't know for how long it was, but anytime you're in a mud pit, it's long enough. And so he's there in the pit, and a fellow by the name of Ebed-Melech says to the king, listen, this isn't right. This should not have happened to Jeremiah. He's a good man. He's a man of God. I've seen his testimony. I've seen his life, and this is not right what's happened to him. So he goes to the king and says, king, we need to get him out. And this wishy-washy king who put him in the first place said, okay, that's good. Do what you have to do. So he takes 30 men and rescues Jeremiah out of this mud pit to stand before the king. And so Jeremiah is now standing before the king in verse number 15, the Bible says, and Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, this is the second time he talks to the king after being in the pit. He said, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Jeremiah said, this is what the Lord has said. Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live, and thine house. Jeremiah says, listen, I've been in a mud pit. I've been sinking where it looks like nobody was going to help me. I thought my life was ended because I'm surrendered to God. God is my king. God is my father. God is the one I listen to. I was threatened by you, but I still told the truth. I was threatened by others, but I still told the truth. And I got down in the pit, and when I was sinking, as the psalmist said, as I was down in the miry clay, that he lifted me up out of the miry clay. Jeremiah said, listen, I knew that if I died, I would have to die, but I knew that there was a God who could deliver me. And the same thing I told you before I went into the pit is the same thing I'm telling you after you get out of the pit. If you stay, you're going to die. If you surrender, you're going to live. You see, surrender contradicts my personality. But surrender to God is consistent in the midst of pressure. Consistent in the midst of pressure. You know, the reason that so many Christians struggle with the right thing to do in the midst of pressure is that they've given God stuff, or they've given God a little something, but they haven't given God themselves. When you give God yourselves, it doesn't matter what pressure comes. It doesn't matter about the mud pits. When I've given God myself, I know there's nothing else to lose, and I know what to do in the situation of pressure that comes my way. So Jeremiah says, you thought by putting me down now I was going to change my story. You don't know my story. Let me tell you, it's the same story that I told you when I got in the pit. That if you stay, you're going to die. If you surrender, you're going to live. You know, when we surrender, it's amazing. You deal with Christians all the time. Let me tell you something. We are all made of the same stuff. We are not genetically prepositioned or predisposed to be more for God than others. I don't believe that. I believe that God puts us in situations, and many of us have advantages, and many of us have people in our lives and blessings in our lives, but all of us are made of the same stuff. But what made the difference in this prophet's life was that when he said no the first time, he didn't do it for convenience. He didn't do it for popularity. He did it because he had given his heart to God. And so when pressure came, and when people came and tried to get him to change his mind, he didn't have to wonder what to do. He didn't have to stress over doing the right thing. And the reason so many of us have trouble in tough times is because we've never given him us in the first place. So Jeremiah said, hey, I just got a nice mud bath. It was rough, but somebody came and rescued me. A brother, an Ethiopian, a black man rescued me from prison. God, you surrender to God, God will give you some unusual friends. You know, one of the reasons some folks don't want to give everything to God is they're afraid of the friends they're going to lose. That is a big, big thing for Christian people. It's peer pressure. If I surrender to God, if I start acting crazy, people are going to laugh at me. I'm going to lose my friends. I'm going to lose my buddies. I'm going to lose these people in my life. And they're afraid of that. What we don't realize is when we give our hearts to God, we give our lives to God, God brings us some unusual friendships. Friendships that stand the test of time. Friends that will stick with you when you run out of money. Friends that will stick with you when you're doing the right thing. And I'm so glad that God has given me the best friends and the best people in life. We may be different. We may look different. We may sound different. We may even be a minority in the church, but God has put us together in this place and made us one because of the Holy Spirit of God. And God blesses us with unusual friendships and ultimate faithfulness of God, that even in this situation where Jeremiah thought he was dying, God delivered him. And he knew that. It wasn't tough for him to make the right decision under pressure. You know, by the way, a little pressure really determines if we're truly surrendered. You know, when things are good and I'm tithing, it may seem like I've given that aspect of my life to God. But let me get some financial pressure and then see what I do. See, it's easy to give to God when you got plenty of money, right? It's hard. It's tougher when you don't have things, when you have to make the decision between the rent and the tithes and offerings. It's easy to have faith in God when you're feeling well and you got a good bill of health. But let the doctor say that things don't look so good, and then you determine whether or not you surrender to God. Faith and family and friends and situations, it's easy to say, my family belongs to God, until one of my kids says they want to go to the mission field. Are you crazy? You see, this pressure reveals our surrender to God. And true surrender is consistent in the midst of pressure. But you know, thirdly and finally, true surrender has consequences if not practiced. Sad verse in chapter 39, verse 1, it says, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. This is the big day. Historians tell us about 586 years before Jesus was born is the fall of the city of Jerusalem. It took the Babylonians about 18 months to actually break through, but they finally did so. And the story tells us later on in chapter 39 that King Zedekiah and his officials tried to get away, but the Babylonians captured them anyway. And we see here that it was a gruesome punishment later on in chapter 39 for King Zedekiah, that his eyes were poked out, and he was taken prisoner. And the last thing they allowed him to see before having his eyes gouged out was the killing of his own wife and children. He should have listened to Jeremiah. He should have listened. Jeremiah said, if you stay, you're going to die. But if you surrender, you're going to live. The thing is about surrendering to God is it has consequences if not practiced. You know, when we get saved, it's the greatest thing that ever happens to us. The flip side of that is if we don't put this thing in, jump in this thing with 2 feet, that it can be the worst existence that one could have. And so I am committed as a child of God that the only way I'm going to be happy and the only way I'm going to be fulfilled and the only way I'm going to see the true blessings of God in my life is to give Him all of me. And so this king who went against the man of God faced these consequences. He sensed palpable loss in his life. And the fact that he lost his eyesight, lost his freedom, lost his kingdom, and then painful lessons, he lost his family and lost the things that were dear to him. Let me ask you a question tonight to think about, that we all should think about. What would it be, or what would your life be like if the person who told you about the Lord was not surrendered to God? What would we be tonight if the pastor who started this church hadn't surrendered his life to God? Where would we be if men of God who stood and preached the word of God had not surrendered their hearts and lives to God? We would be the casualties of lives not surrendered. So I ask you tonight, what would be the consequences of you and I not surrendering? See, we live in such a small-minded bubble. We think that if I serve God, I don't serve God, that it just affects me. No, that's not true. Everything we do in this life, we're connected. And when you become a part, we believe around here that the local church is not an organization, but a living, breathing organism, that everybody that's in this place is put here sovereignly by the hand of God. And so when 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about if the ear does one thing, that the foot is hurt in the eye, we believe that's talking about a local body of believers who's affected. And the way that I live and the things that I do and the things that I don't do affects people around me. And I wonder what it's going to be like to get to heaven and to see the loss or those we did not reach. Simply because I could not in truth say those two words, I surrender. There's nothing needs to go after that. Not just I surrender my life or I surrender my talent. I'm not talking about giving up stuff. I'm talking about giving up me. I surrender. And as we go into this missions conference, I wonder what we could accomplish for God as a church if everybody simply said, I surrender. We don't have to worry about how much money we're going to raise for missions. We don't have to worry about filling ministries. We don't have to worry about people to go on visitation. If we give us, then all the other stuff will come by itself. I surrender. I just want to leave you with this thought tonight. It's always better to give something to God than to have Him to take it from you. Because when He takes it from you, the consequences are very, very bad. God, help us tonight. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. Let's pray.